Hey.
Morning.
What to investigate the front runner for the.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Is there ever a time when you're not doing great?
No. No. That time will come. That time will come when I'm no longer on the planet. Otherwise, I'm doing great.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I guess that's an important thing to understand. Optimistic and positive all the time.
Yeah, we were commenting to each other that after our last conversation, how you always answer that with an affirmative, and then it seems to me that you kind of walk the walk a little bit, too. All right.
It's hard not to. People are going to take you seriously, you gotta walk the walk, right?
That's true. I had four supernova appointments. Oh, wait a minute. Three supernova appointments face-to-face last week, and one phone call. The first went incredibly smoothly because it was a new client. The reason I say that is he doesn't know different, you know what I mean, as far as the service process. He's concerned, it's just the way I've always done business, and he's just now getting that. He wasn't surprised by it. Say, well, are we doing, what are the monthly calls in regard to? And I said, well, the agenda will be different. It'll be dictated by what you need, what I need. An example might be we might discuss tax trading in December and March. Maybe we're going to go over what you're going to see when you get your tax statement from us, that sort of thing. And I got some of those ideas from your white pages and that sort of thing on the website. Topics to talk about. Tracy is not here today. She has the day off. And I apologize for that, but she's trying to fit in her days off by the year end kind of thing. And I said, well, now that you're, you know, the leader, I don't think you should be doing that. Which went surprisingly well considering the comment I just made. But
oh my God, said, yeah. What'd she say?
Yeah, she just kind of chuckled. She kind of chuckled.
Right.
She said, well, because, but the,
that's great.
We discussed that kind of thing, and we thought that it was a good idea, and I know that changes up the relationship a little bit. And I said, that I realize you don't have the ultimate authority to get rid of me, but, it's important that I'd be accountable to someone other than myself, and objects and goals and that sort of thing. And we started talking about, we thought that the first and easiest thing was going to be the first goal should be everybody gets a financial plan, using the GPS system with Morgan Stanley. I don't know if you're, are you familiar with that? It used to be LifeView. But that was, cumbersome is not the right word because it was extremely thorough and it was usually a good starting point. But my experience with GPS is it's a lot more client and user friendly. You know, they don't need to see the flow chart of the money being spent, that sort of thing. One guy said, I like it a lot better because it's green, yellow, and red. You know, I don't know, are you familiar with the banner when you get your email? And the new client last week loved that as well.
Great.
So his reply was, let me get this straight. Every quarter I'm going to get that email, and it's going to show me whether or not I'm on track to hit my retirement goals or not. And I said, yes. And he goes, okay. That makes perfect sense. And I said, and he said, can I see you? Understand, being new, he doesn't understand what he's going to need yet. And his question was, I like the idea of the two face-to-face, but what if the other ones need to be face-to-face as well? And I said, well, at the beginning, that would be fine, but because in the end, I do work for you. But I think, why don't we try it with the plan I've outlined with my experience, and then if you need more, that'll be fine. But my guess is you're going to find it a very effective tool on how to do it. And I said, the way I approached it with him was, this isn't something I didn't word it this way, but willy-nilly pulled out of the air, that this is a program that's been put into place that works, and it is, at the very least, the starting point. When I think you would find that in the end, it'll be what you need it to be, you know, as far as the number of meetings. And that answer more than satisfied him. The other one was... not, it was more of a month. The one that was partly was just more of a monthly call had to do with a client I got last year who this will be their first RMD, and it was mainly, you know, that was the monthly meeting is what I chose it to be, monthly contact. You know, hey, we don't have this on file. We need to get it on file. And then I told him what we'd be doing going forward. And he was very fine with it. It's a little weird for him, though, and me, for him, because he literally, I don't know him other than as a client, but he lives, you know, less than 4 miles from my house, and I pass his house every day on my way home. The issue for me there is going to be, in the past, I've had no problem just swinging by and signing paperwork on the way home, picking up stuff on the way to the office, that kind of thing. And I would like to kind of reduce that back to the typical plan. And I'm assuming you have some... The only thought that I would have in it was... Because what you think it's okay. I'm just going to pick up this... We're just going to sign this R&D withdrawal form.
Yeah,
and it'll be 5 minutes, and I'll be out of there. And it's not. It's a half hour to 45 minutes because he wants to tell me about his grandkids and this kind of other stuff. So it never works out to be that. And I obviously can't tell the client that you know, hey, I don't want to do that necessarily unplanned anymore because, you know, I don't want to hear about you and your wife going square dancing in Michigan, which was what we talked about the last time I was there. Anyway, so, any helpful ways, or do I just not do it?
Just don't do it.
Okay. Don't even bring it up in a conversation like, this is not something I can't do or not willing to do. Just don't.
No, you're just, you know, my new responsibilities require that I be in.
I'm not even going to bring up that. You know, he won't.
Right.
If I say I just can't do it and you mind sending it in, he'll do it without...
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like making house calls as a doctor. It's a nice idea, but doesn't make any sense.
Effectively, it doesn't work for the doctor. You know,
no.
I came up through, I don't know if you knew this about me or not, but I came up through training with Edward Jones, which was their premise was knock on every door in your community.
Sure.
The problem that I had with it, besides the fact they didn't do any national advertising at the time, and, you know, people called me Mr. Jones, and it's nice that your dad lets you work for the firm, you know, that kind of thing. I noticed when going around my area that the most successful advisors weren't doing that. They weren't, because the one guy said it to me, if I'm walking around my neighborhood, and I always hesitate, because, like, kind of with your program, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, that's why I'm hiring you, to show me what the best practices are and to do it. And in that, so I did that, but the problem I ended up with is on a great day, walking around neighborhoods, and their logic was, well, the only people that will be home are retirees, and that's who you want as a client. So, you know, well, hell, I could spend all day and meet three people.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I was talking to in the next town over was phone calling and bringing in a lot more people because the numbers were just, you know, he could call 200 people in a day.
Right.
And he might speak to 50, and of those, 10 might be a worthwhile conversation, and he might open up one account or two accounts a week, whereas I'm sitting there, forgive the language, with my thumb up my rear end, knocking on doors, meeting 10 or 15 people a week, and of those having maybe five meetings, it just didn't make sense to me, and that was one of the reasons, that was the reason that I left the firm after short order. But needless, neither here nor there. The clients that I'm talking to like the plan, the newer, the contact schedule, that sort of thing. Clients who have been older are a little more resistant to it, which sounds, I think, as you expected, because there's, you know, it's been working for 20 years. Why do I want to change? You know, why do I want to reinvent the wheel? Is kind of their attitude for it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I tell people that everybody has you in a box, okay? And that means that you are who you are to them. And when you try and get out of your box and tell them you're somebody else or that you're doing something different, they're like, no, get back in your box. they don't want to hear it. You know, even if it's better for them, you know, in the old days, you were their stock guy or their bond guy or their
That's one of the issues with one of my larger clients is I can feel a resistance for, like he's got a 401k that I know is at his former employer.
Right.
And he says it's coming here, but it's been a year. And one of the things that I think he's thinking is, you've been my stock guy. Your returns are incredible. I love the service I get from you, but you're my aggressive guy. Do you know what I mean? You're my stock guy.
Yep.
You're not my. And the funny thing is the size of the portfolio here is now many, many times greater than his 401k because of the performance numbers in a divorce. That's always, you know.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's like, but anyway, let's see. I wanted to touch on that. So you think that's being handled okay?
Yeah, you're doing great. Just, you know, we talked about it, I think, but whenever somebody says no, I always say yellow flag, let's identify what the real issue is.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, it's going to be something, right? I mean, it's they're used to having you be you, or they don't, frankly, they don't see the value in talking with you because you've always been selling them something. They don't want you to sell them something 12 times a year. Or, you know, they think it's going to take too much time. And there's not like 50 things. You know, it's going to be, you know, one of three or four things, and you got to identify what it is. And most of it is just plain change. You know, it sounds like it's going to take more time, and I don't know the value of it, therefore I don't want to do it. So one of the things if you're getting multiple pushbacks, revisit your explanation. What I found was when you're excited about anything, they're excited about it.
Okay.
So if your presentation is not demonstrating that you're excited about this, then they're not going to be excited about it. So that's just, you know, so go back and look at your script versus my script. You know, what are you saying? You know, we had a problem. We hired a consultant. We solved the problem. Here's the good news for you. That's your script.
Yes. And the idea being, as for my business, for it to grow the way I want to, I also have to offer a level of service that up until now, although successful, was not where it needed to be to continue my growth. Although I always hesitate saying it.
Yeah, you don't want to make it about you.
Okay.
You don't want it to be about you and your growth. They don't care about that. They care about them and the service experience. And so what you say is, the problem I was having was that I was worried because of the number of clients I was dealing with, that the client experience was becoming inconsistent.
That's a great way to word it.
See?
I really like that, actually. The client experience was coming in becoming inconsistent, and I needed it to be
I didn't know what to do. Right. So I didn't know what to do, so I hired a consultant. What we did was we evaluated and studied the business and came to several conclusions. One was that we had to deliver a consistent client experience, and that one that would be outstanding. And so this is the model that we built. Okay?
That makes sense. That makes great sense.
See what I mean? You got the problem. You hired somebody. You came up with a solution, but it's all about them, not about you. So what I wanted was a consistent client experience that would be outstanding. So what we did, and so here's the model. Every client, every single client, you know, and Edward Jones was good about this. They were very strict about what they would do and what they wouldn't do.
But I think that they were getting faulty information from a lot of their FAs or whatever they were calling. And because the guy on the call would sit there and pretend, you know, go through his day like he was knocking on doors, and I know damn well he wasn't doing it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It wasn't just
him. He was lying. Yeah, he was lying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They were getting the results, so they didn't care. Right.
Well, right. That was always the issue for me is
anyway.
I don't want to beat up somebody else. And obviously, you know, maybe in a lot of the areas that worked.
It's an old day model, and it's fine. But the point is that we want to then say, okay, what did we come up with? This is what we came up with. Everybody gets a plan. Everybody gets 12 contacts. Everybody gets rapid response to their problems. Okay? So everybody gets multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? They'll go, wow, how can you do that? We can do that because we'll have less than 100 clients.
Right.
And they go, am I one of them? And you go, yes or no, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All okay. Right. So just
practice. And I do, were right on, by the way. I love the damn folders. Did I tell you, Isaiah was in the office the other day, and he saw the box with the folders in it, and he goes, are those your Supernova folders? And I know what he was looking at, and he was sitting there thinking, why the hell are they in the boxes? And I said, yeah, what I do is when I get an appointment, I take out a folder, we prepare for the appointment, and it moves into the desk, and, you know, and then you could see when I open my drawer that there's this, you know, these folders getting ready for the appointment, and there were 2 behind me on the, I'm not sure he saw the 2 behind, well, he must have seen the 2, unless he wasn't even looking for them, but anyway, that was the whole thing, and it was kind of cool, because we talked a little bit about the folders, and he goes, what do you think? I was like, I love the damn folders. I mean, because I know that new client, when I opened up that folder, it wasn't just, a manila folder.
Yeah.
You know, set it up exactly the way you outlined with the client data information on the front page, the notes on the back, and what we were taking care of in the middle. And their replies, and they took copious notes. I offered them a folder. Now, she didn't want it because she had her own little folder that she brought in. And I thought that was okay. No?
No. Give them the folder. It's all done ahead of time. It isn't a question of yes or no. This is the way we're going to work.
Okay. All right.
All right, you're on the board of directors of your own company. You're the CEO. I'm the CFO. We're going to have a board meeting every month. Here's the agenda. Here's a place to take notes. This is your folder. This is where you, this is information about us, so you need to have that. Like, the introductions given and received, it's so important to have that in there.
Okay.
And that's not going to be in her folder, see? So you can't...
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right. Okay.
See what I mean? There's powerful things that are in that folder that we haven't talked about that you just have to have.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, this is why we do coaching calls. I mean, you don't know this stuff until you know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. I'll chalk that up. I'm writing down my notes. I have my own little. I absconded one of the little folders to take notes for our coaching session.
Great. I have one on you.
As long as I don't run out.
Right.
That's what I figure. All right.
And then what you want to do is you want to begin having them for your 20 prospects. Okay. So as you build a prospect, you build a folder. And that folder will eventually be the client's folder.
Okay.
That will be the folder that you have on the client.
Well, I didn't do that yet, but that makes sense, actually.
See what I mean? And you'll love it. If you love the folders, you'll love the prospect folders. And then what you do is, you know, if you want to call them every week, great. Keep the folder at your desk. But if you're going to call them once a month, you just put them in, like I say, you put them in there, put them on your scheduler, just like an existing client, and then they pop out just like out of a toaster. Boom, they're on your desk, right? Or they're behind you on the... And what I'd have is a separate rack. I'd have a rack for my clients and I'd have a rack for my prospects. And any prospects that were coming, and you want to end up with 5 prospects a day. That's the goal. 5 people you're calling every day.
Well, that would be awesome, actually. I mean, that sounds kind of like 5. I mean, that means you're working 5, on 20.
5 clients? Right. You got 5
20
clients,
a week.
5 prospects.
So you got 5 clients, 5 prospects, and that's a day.
Yep.
That you're working on. Well, how does that, you know, does that... So what you're kind of looking at is you're making a decision ahead of time whether or not you want this person to be a client. And for you to make that decision, it means that you have to be willing to get rid of another client.
That's right.
Through the supernova, you know, to the next guy down the ladder.
Right. The bottom 10 people are on the bubble. Okay, just like in the Indy 500, you know, the back guy's on the bubble.
Right,
He's going to get bumped
by. So, in other words, if you meet a prospect, you have to say, look, I'm willing to give up the revenue that I'm getting from client number 100.
Right.
For me even to put them in the prospect pile.
That's right.
So that.
And they should, to truly be a prospect. I went through this with a guy today. He said, I said, how many prospects do you have? He said, I have 48. I said, I bet you 8 of those 48, 8 of them are real prospects. Okay? He said, well, what's that mean? I said, to be a prospect, they have to be in your target minimum. Okay? That means they look like the top 20% of your practice.
Okay.
Okay?
And if they're not... They're not a prospect.
You have to like them. They like you.
Right, right. All those criteria that you went through at the beginning. Now, let's say everything hits them but the minimum. And the reason I'm asking, I need to know in a small town, which we are in.
Right.
What is the best way to say, you know, thank you, but no thank you?
You got a place for them. The best, theoretically, right? The best thing you can do is to pass them on to one of your associates. And that's wonderful. I'll talk to any, you know, obviously you know what my minimum is, but if you've got a friend that needs help, send them in. I'll find somebody for them.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not really ever saying no. You're just saying not me. I'm the guy that deals with the CEOs. But I've got somebody that deals with, you know, the rank and file.
Okay.
Because, you know, I have a more specialized business. I work with cases that are more complicated. Just like, and you can just say it. Just like a, you know, neurosurgeon versus a general practitioner.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm a specialist, yeah. I specialize in working with the higher net worth clients, yeah. And
all
people
right.
Think, oh, wow, okay. So people are so worried about the saying no. What they really should realize is that people want to be a member of the club they can't get in. Okay?
Yeah.
It's human nature.
Yeah, I guess I get that, yeah.
The more attractive you are, you know, the higher your minimum, the more attractive you are. And they also think you're smarter. So if you want to be the smartest guy in the city, have the highest minimum.
That's Barbara Hudock here.
Okay.
She's got a great
book. Same thing, right? Have a higher minimum.
Yeah.
And
minimum.
I think she's smart.
She says her advertised minimum is $1 million+.
Well, you can make yours $5 million. See? Then she becomes a small producer.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be sure to tell her that. Hey, Barbara, raise my minimum.
Right.
She's actually somebody who taught me that it's not your... She never said this, but it's not the return you get for your client. It's the client experience that matters most.
That's the truth, right?
Well, it is, because I blow her away in returns. But I can never get one for clients.
Well, you want to blow her away in client experience, and you will get one of her clients.
Yes. That is a tough thing to do, though, because she's been doing what you're talking about for 25 years, at least.
Well, you know, then she's got, you know, she's full then, and that's good. So she's not prospecting.
Oh, I guarantee you, though, she's got a hell of a lot more than 100 clients.
Yeah, there you go. And so maybe the client experience isn't that
great. Is not, and now that her son is the lead on it, probably far less.
Right, because he's never going to be her.
No, and he's not. He's not.
So,
no doubt about it.
That's so important, you know. So, great. You know, the world's opening up. It's funny, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, what else? Questions? What else? The inverted pyramid, understanding what's in the folders. I'm so glad. I've had two teams say, "What? You know, why don't you send me a sample of the folders?" And I said, well, in week 3, we sent you a client folder, a content. We sent you the supernova. Anyway,
what did they think that was?
They didn't open it, clearly, right?
I guess, but it's not just opening the folder. I mean, you look at it, it's a very nice folder.
Right.
But it's the, what you saw on the videos that clarified it for me. I mean, honestly, not to make myself look like a damn idiot, but the way I would have done it without that guidance was, okay, just start at the beginning, you know, do my reviews, do this kind of thing, and work my way back. The fact that it's got a structure to it made the most sense to me. I mean, that just, you know, the organization factor part of it.
Right.
And you know, the clients can see me taking the notes on the notes section. They don't know, you know, at least so far. I mean, if they look, they'd know that. But they, I'm redoing the client data forms just to make sure everything's...
Yeah. And, I mean, I could go back and redo these forms, too. I mean, I'm redoing the whole workbook.
You understand what I mean. It's like, look, I know that a lot of the stuff is the, well, I had one, like, the one with the address had changed and he had moved, but my client data form didn't reflect it. I mean, and it was a 911, yeah. One of those 911 changes that he didn't actually move or anything like that. And so that was different. His asset totals down at the bottom were dramatically underweighted because I hadn't updated them since he became a client.
Right.
And so to update it, and also Tracy told me it'd probably be a good thing to do because when I get rolling on one of those meetings, my notes, she did ask, because I do feel compelled to take the notes that I write down during the meeting and add them to our electronic client contacts. Do you know what I mean?
This
like not only it's got to be that way because those notes, those descriptions, those conversations have to be part of the client profile so that when I make a change within the portfolio or when I recommend setting up a trust or doing something that the crow can look at it and say, okay, there are the notes. You know, recommended an annuity and here's why he recommended the annuity the last a week ago, and I can see that from the face-to-face that he had, whatever. And
right.
That's needed, but she asked me to redo the client base because she said, your writing's not horrible, but your notes are. In other words, when I conscientiously down the information on a new data form, that's fine. She can read that, but she can't deduce what's supposed to go where from the notes that I take during the meeting. So what ends up occurring is I write them, I get back, I neaten them up within the folder, and then she add them to the system, and then she can then look at my notes and add them to the data file from that point on. But
I think it's important to, you know, to have some sort of, whether you do it on Outlook or some CRM system that, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird comment. I think it's a CRM.
That's great. I think it's, you know, see, you think.
Well, it's my best defense against anything going wrong.
Did you know that the head of Merrill Lynch compliance in the national managers meeting, annual meeting, national meeting, I was a keynote speaker, and guess who introduced me?
Who?
The head of compliance.
Okay.
All right.
Not the sales guy.
The head of compliance introduced me and said, if we can get every financial advisor in the system to use Supernova, I can get rid of a whole floor of lawyers.
Well, that's probably true. I hate talking to the lawyers.
No,
it's slow, it's tedious, but I love talking to Alan Carlson, the first layer, because he answers most of the questions. He limits the number of times I have to talk to an attorney. The only time it gets passed up is if it's a legal question. Like that happened last week when I have a trust where the trustees are kind of going at each other, and he's like, "We need an official. Who do we listen to?" And it's funny because every single one of us thought this is going to get locked up. We're going to wait for a court order. That's what their decision is going to be. It was not. It was like the documents are here. I'm comfortable with this. Remove that trustee. Go from there.
Oh my God! Great.
Yeah, so, I mean, and the notes were all there, the conversations that I'd had with each trustee. Yeah.
That's the key. I mean, think about it. You've got the agenda, you've got notes, and then you send them an executive summary, and the guy goes, I never agreed to buy that annuity. And you go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Here it is.
I've had that happen before, you know, where, Rhett, how come
we
didn't buy that stock?
Enough.
And I said, well, you wanted to buy it. But we bought this one, and according to my notes, we didn't buy that one because we already owned this, and our analysts, and all the notes were there, which that goes a long way to, oh, okay. All he remembered was he wanted to buy it, which he did.
Right.
But he didn't realize that he took my advice not to buy that and to buy this thing. And
guess what would have happened to you? You would have said, geez, I don't remember. Okay,
right.
I'll go ahead and buy it and take an error and all this stuff.
Oh, my God, no. Guess why he wanted to know why we didn't buy it. Because it was way up. Clients never call and say, hey, I thought that stock that fell flat on its face that I wanted to buy. Did we buy that? That's never what happens.
Right. So from a compliance point of view, the folders are brilliant.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I know, I've told you that my office manager is concerned about them because we're trying to get away from all paper here.
Yeah,
but
well.
It's an extra level. I said, you can't, you really can't sit there if you're meeting at a client's home or if you're meeting in your office. You can't sit there and constantly be taking notes on a computer because the client doesn't know what you're doing.
Right.
They don't know what you're doing.
Right.
They know what
you're
doing when they see you writing down the notes in the book or in the folder.
Right.
When they see that, they know. When they say, I'd like to retire at 62, and they see you write down target retirement date 62, they know what you're doing. If you're clicking on it and putting it in somewhere else.
They don't know what the hell you're doing. You're talking to your girlfriend? What are you doing on there?
Maybe they assume that's what you're doing, but they don't know. And it's also you're bouncing around a lot because the computer's a hell of a lot slower than just writing it down on a piece of paper in the folder.
I know. Plus the visibility. I mean, you loved the idea just now of seeing five prospect folders sitting there. Okay?
Yeah.
So would I. Because it's like, oh, okay, so I've got one today. Whoa, I got to get going. I don't have five. You know, I got to fill up that five, you know, or whatever. You know, maybe you want to have three. Maybe you want to have one. But the idea...
Well, you know, as well as I do, one great prospect is worth 10 shitty ones.
Correct. That's why I said to this guy, you probably have 8 good ones out of the 48. You know. And the idea is to be brutal. You know, supernova your prospecting, supernova your investment process. Just be brutal about everything that you do.
Well, I would imagine, too, if you, and this happened a long time ago, but I had a client who I got him because his wife had a $400,000 inherited account with me. The only reason I got it was I called the attorney, said, what's the holdup? And the attorney went, oh, nothing, we can let that go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it was mind-numbing for the client because it had been there for years. And I it was in an estate account, and I finally just said, well, what's the holdup? And she said, I don't know. I make the phone call. So, long story short, we started servicing her, and then her husband says, now, wait a minute. She's got a $400,000 account, and she is hearing from you all the time. The service level is very high. I've got $1.2 million at my advisor, and I haven't heard from the guy in 6 or 7 months.
Bingo. That's a classic.
That was perfect.
Sorry.
And next thing I know, and then when they passed away, they introduced me to their children. And
bingo.
Now that they've both passed away, their children, there's one main child, and... You know, I know that sounds funny to think one main child, but one is inheriting 80% versus the other two are getting 10.
Whoa.
I had nothing to do with that.
Huh. Okay.
I had nothing to do with that, but that's the way it was set up, and which is good because, they honestly, between you and me, they wouldn't hit my new minimum if I divided it equally between the three.
Well, that's exactly right. That's interesting. All right, my friend, we better jump off. Good talk.
Homework? It was great. Yeah.
I
haven't looked ahead, so what is the homework for next time?
I would say, I'm just looking at it, create your personal contents for the folder. You've done that. Review inverted pyramid. You've done that. Segment the top 20%. Keep doing that.
The next thing is for me, I saw that... I would think I need deeper penetration with the whole process to get it north of 20% now.
All right. Number four in the homework is determine your number of prospects. And then start, make up one prospect folder from your prospects. Let's just make that the homework. Okay. Get the experience of doing it. Okay?
All right. Yep. Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Terrific.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.